We sing this wonderful hymn, you'll find it 614 in the hymn book. A debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing, nor fear with God's righteousness on, my person and offerings to bring. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus, it is to be put on. It's the medicine for fears and low assurance and lack of confidence in the gospel. I'm so glad that you were able to join with us here on the program today to let the Bible speak from the pulpit of our church. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. On the program today, we have a little clip on why I love my New King James Bible. No, it's not the New King James Bible, but my new old King James Bible, the one that has been around for hundreds of years. And I'll be giving some reasons why I choose to read, to study, and to preach from the King James Version of the Bible. And we'll bring that toward the end of the program. We're dealing today with Ephesians 6:14, that second half of the verse, which deals with the righteousness of Christ. And I hope yesterday that you were able to pick up on the definition of righteousness. It means that we are made right in God's sight, that we are accepted in the Beloved. And when God looks upon us, he sees his Son. The merits of the Lord Jesus and his worth is attributed or transferred to us. God never deals with his people apart from his Son. And this is the wonderful mystery of the covenant of grace. God gave to the Father a Son for whom he would work and die, rise again, and bring them one day into glory. So we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, and we invite you to take your Bible and join with us as here from the pulpit of our church we open the Scriptures and preach the glorious gospel simply by letting the Bible speak. And that righteousness is timeless. It doesn't change. And it doesn't change on your good day, and it doesn't change on your bad day. It doesn't change when you are Peter boasting that I will die for you. And it doesn't change for Peter the day that he denied the Lord Jesus. And how weak and what a failure he felt. If you had asked Peter, how are you feeling? He better not be counting on his own works. He needs to stand on the unchanging, timeless righteousness of the Lord Jesus. I heard of a Scottish preacher who in his deathbed was ministered to by a young pastor. And of course, daunting. Think of an old man serving God all his life, and you're a young pastor going in to sit in his room, comfort him in his death. And the young pastor said to him, now just think of all the good things that you've done all of your life. God will be well pleased with you. And the old preacher says, away with those. That righteousness is rubbish. I plead only the righteousness of Christ. And that is our standing. And so I think I have gone some length here to describe to you what we're talking about, this breastplate of righteousness, which protects the heart, protects the vital organs, your emotions, your feelings.
And unless you live standing on, rejoicing in the perfect righteousness of Christ, your feelings will be all over the map. Your feelings will never find comfort. You need to rejoice in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus that is yours by faith, by a gift, and stand alone for him. Put it on! Put it on. And that comes now to the prescription. The prescription of this breastplate of righteousness. Put it on when you deal with a lack of assurance. This is a great problem to many people, many Christians. They begin to consider themselves in spiritual trouble, or that they are not even saved, because they don't feel right. Their feelings are funny. Or that they're not even saved because they've lost their first love. And we all know the ups and downs of the depth, the degree of devotion that we have to the Lord. Hardly 2 days are the same. You get out of bed one morning and you're rejoicing. And you get out of bed the next morning and you feel defeated. How can I even make it through the day? And it might be an ulcer in your stomach. Might be a headache that you're bearing. Might be a whole health problem that's deep and difficult even to diagnose. Maybe you're not even aware of what's going on inside your body. But your body affects your thinking, and your thinking affects your assurance, and your assurance affects your way of devotion, and you feel the complexity of living the Christian life. Where do we go? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's not how I feel. It's what Christ accomplished for me and provides for me. Feelings are, of course, to be the fruit, not the root, of our Christianity. Can you get that firmly in your mind? Your feelings should be the fruit of how you live the Christian life. What you feel should be based upon what you know of the finished work of Christ on the cross for your own soul. Now, let me take you to a Bible verse. Romans 6 and verse 17. Just to get this order well planted in your heart and mind today. Romans 6, 17. And I want you to see here that you have, well, a number of issues going on. You have the intellect, the heart, and the will to do. All of these things are at play in the Christian life. What's in your head, what's in your heart, and what you do with your hands. Let's think of it. Head, heart, hands. And all of these things work together. And as you think, so are you. And what's in your heart, that's how you feel. And then how you think and what's in your heart will affect what you do and how you serve God. In Romans 6:17, it says here, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now, doctrine, that should be in your head. Doctrine should be the knowledge of the gospel, the knowledge of what the Lord has done for you and provides for you, the righteousness that he provides for your life. That's in your head. Then you have the heart mentioned in that verse. You obey from the heart. Now, if your heart's not in it, how much joy in that? If your heart's not in it, I'm not even sure you'll get the reward of the blessing. But when your head and heart are fully engaged, you obey. You obey out of a full heart, out of a head that's well informed in those three areas. Now, you're told to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That should be your doctrine. And that should affect your heart. My heart's protected. And all the temptations of the enemy and the wicked one are deflected by this breastplate of righteousness. And now I serve because I'm enjoying my salvation. I have peace with God. I have a perfect righteousness that is given to me by the Lord Jesus. And you know, our Christian life is so much about this. We sing this wonderful hymn, you'll find it 614 in the hymn book, "A debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing, nor fear with God's righteousness on, my person and offerings to bring. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view." The righteousness of the Lord Jesus, it is to be put on. It's the medicine for fears and low assurance and lack of confidence in the gospel. Put on the breastplate when you're dealing with emotionalism. Now, I'm not a psychologist and I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't know very much about what goes on in people's brains. I don't know very much about synapses. Those are the little electrical firing signals that go on inside our heads. I don't know very much about the chemistry of all of how that works. I know next to nothing. But I do know that we are fallen creatures. We are subject to the fall. And you can have physical illness. You can have organs in the body that don't function. You can have a heart that's not pumping the blood properly. You can have lungs that lose their capacity for air. And you can have a liver that is no longer removing the toxins out of the body. You can have dysfunction in various organs of the body. Now, your brain is also an organ. And it can misfire, I think that's the term, when those little neurons or synapses and electrical currents, they misfire and you feel funny. And as we age and as we go through life, brain health can turn to ill health. And we can lose a whole lot of perspective. We can lose a whole lot of the stability that maybe we had earlier in life. Some people are born with such problems, genetic. Some people develop them through injuries, and then again through disease. And so this is the brain at work. And it causes emotionalism. And how do we handle that as Christians? Well, of course, we pray for health. We pray for restoration of the faculties. And if there's some medicine or some medication that will bring that about, we're open to using that. But when we deal with the emotionalism as a Christian, and I feel weird, I feel different, whatever it is, the bedrock of the Christian is not perfect health. The bedrock of the Christian life is the perfection of our righteousness in Christ Jesus. This is the prescription. It's the medicine to deal with our infirmities of life. And of course, we feel weak. We feel defeated. We feel many kinds of feelings. Feelings are real in the Christian life. Let's not think that we are like those guards in Windsor Castle, that they're emotionless. They're not emotionless. I've seen some of them on the heat of the summer day faint on the job. And what they were feeling inside, this is tough. Standing like this, and those little rascals are trying to make me move. And they feel all kinds of emotions. But they trained not to show them. They have the stoic attitude. Well, we're not to live the Christian life as stoics and try and pretend that we have everything in perfection. No, we come with all our infirmities. And we have a Savior who understands our weaknesses, our infirmities, our inconsistencies, and we bring them to the Lord. And the first thing we do is say, thank you, Lord, that you have a perfect righteousness for me. And I may never get better. I may live in a frame of weakness till the day I die. And I don't even know how long that's going to be. But Lord, I have your righteousness. And I'm clinging to it. This is my hope, my stability, and my strength. Now, temptation is another area where the devil comes along. And when the devil tempts us, put on the righteousness of Christ. The devil, of course, is the accuser, and he says, who are you? What a weakling you are. You claim to be a Christian, and look at the way, look at the mess you're in. Mentally, physically, socially, you can't even talk and be neighborly. What kind of a person are you? And the devil brings all these accusations, making you think that you should be perfect. Well, the way to handle the devil's temptation is to say to the devil, my perfection is Christ. I don't even claim to be perfect. I admit my absolute weakness. I'm a sinner, and I'm prone to all the temptations and the weaknesses of the flesh. We also put on the breastplate for our apathy in Christian service, or indolence. I actually have that word in my notes, indolence in Christian service. And there are times when you might be challenged about doing something for the Lord, and you would say, but no, I can't do that. You see, I'm weak. I'm emotional. I'm timid. I'm fearful. And therefore, I can't serve the Lord. Well, let me tell you, if every Christian took that attitude, nobody would do anything for the Lord. Because we all fight our weaknesses. We all pray for grace. Paul talked about praying three times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. The Lord uses weak vessels. The Lord uses clay vessels. The Lord uses our infirmities. And he gives the power. And we put on this breastplate of righteousness so that when we give out that gospel tract, we do it in Jesus' name because he's perfect. When we tell someone, do you know what Christ has done for me to save my soul? We're not presenting our own perfections. We're standing in the armor of righteousness and claiming all that the Lord has done for our souls. Bottom line, feelings are very treacherous things. They will betray you in a moment. And if you end up standing on your feelings, you're going to fall. And if all you have to live on is your own feelings, you really have nothing, because they're fleeting, ethereal things. The Bible says, God says, the Apostle Paul advocated, you need to have on the armor of righteousness. You need to be made right with God through the imputed righteousness of Christ. And then you will have proper feelings. Feelings that will be at peace in the storms of life, with your own weaknesses, managing them, living with them. And this is real Christian living. The Christian life is not being in victory till the day you die. The Christian life is submitting in all our weaknesses to do the Father's will and to enjoy all that Christ is for us. And then you feel good about the Lord. You feel good about your salvation and what he has done for you. and you claim your possessions. You claim all that is yours in Christ. And then you're a soldier fit for battle. Now, how do you do that in real terms? Well, firstly, pray. Thank God for the armor of righteousness. Thank God for the righteousness of Christ that is yours. Put your name on it. Claim it. Stand on it. Pray on it. And then not only thank God for it, but think constantly of the gospel in terms of the righteousness of Christ. Never lose sight of it. Never lose sight of it. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Take the medicine. And it's like going to the doctor and you get a prescription. You go to the drugstore and you get the medicine, the prescription fulfilled, and you get that bottle. You take it home. You put it in the fridge. But you don't take it. Maybe that's like you coming to church today. And you've got some gospel medicine prescribed to you. You've got some gospel medicine to take home. But what are you going to do with it? Just tuck it inside your Bible and forget about it. Not do you much good. Unless you take the medicine as prescribed, usually two or three times a day, get that medicine into you, it's not going to do you any good. Now, you're told to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put it on. Live it. Enjoy it. Let it protect you. Let it deliver you from all the works of darkness and of the devil. There it is. Medicine for your soul. Put on the armor of righteousness. The breastplate. Protect yourself with this glorious doctrine of the gospel.
This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. On today's short talk, I want to tell you about my new Bible. Well, it was my birthday and my wife stepped up to buy me a new one, for the old one was really old and beginning to fray. She thought it was time, so we went shopping for a nice new one. We found the perfect Bible, a Cambridge with good clear font on durable thin paper. A half sheet of paper fits inside the covers, which is nice to insert notes or a church bulletin. But I really want to tell you why I bought a King James Version, or an authorized version. So stay with me as I give you five solid reasons to stick with the KJV Bible. Well, I must say that I love my new Bible and found it hard to start marking it up for a time, but I do. I highlight and underline and circle things that I notice and will help me find them as I'm rereading or preaching. The first reason to get a KJV is that it's been around for nearly 400 years, since 1611, when it was commissioned by King James. He had nothing to do with its translation, but he did give the Puritans of his day the authority to put it out in his name to be used in his realm and kingdom. And God has ever blessed it. It is the Bible of reform, revival, and world missions. Only in this last years has it been set aside for a proliferation of other versions, which is sad to me. Secondly, it's the Bible used by our church and denomination in every pulpit and in every meeting. We have no reason to change it and confuse people with any number of Bible versions in pews. When you find the real thing, why throw it away? Thirdly, it's the Bible with all the verses in it. I know that sounds sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. What modern versions have done is to put footnotes in which will say this: oldest manuscripts omit. They don't actually take out the verses or passage referenced, but they may as well have. If you were to take the scissors and cut out all the places where the modern version's footnote with oldest versions omit, you would have a sorry Bible, especially the New Testament. Fourthly, the King James Version is based on a collation principle of majority text or the received text, which was an earlier effort to collate the manuscripts. That means when all available copies of the original scriptures are put together, if there are any differences, choose the pile with the majority of agreement, which in most cases is in the high 90th percentile of agreement. Otherwise, you're being selective and subjective, choosing according to arbitrary criteria. Let's illustrate it this way. If a courtroom was hearing from 100 witnesses about some event and 98 agreed on the details, while 2 disagreed, who would you believe? The 98 witnesses or 2? Of course, you would agree with the 98. To follow the 2 would be the minority principle in Bible collation, whereas to follow the 98 would be the majority principle. The KJV is translated from the received text, which follows the majority method. I have full confidence that it is translated from a faithful and dependable text. Fifthly, its language is beautiful, majestic, reverent, and its prose helps with memorization. Its words just roll off the tongue. Even little children soon get over the these and thous. They only add to the reverence of the Bible and help us handle God's word in awe of a holy God who calls us to worship him in spirit and truth. By the way, the italic shows the reverence which the translators had for the word of God when they italicized any words which were inserted to smooth the reading of a sentence. That's because they believed that every word of God is pure, God-breathed and not to be added to nor taken away from. That's why I love my new KJV Bible. You should get one too. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.